Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, episode 26. We missed out last week thanks to wonderful life issues, but we're back this week. And instead of skipping the nerd talk, we had too much we want to talk about for nerd talk on a podcast, which is talking. So we're going to make up for lost time. And this week is the nerd talk that you missed last week, talking about talks on podcasts, which is talking. Yeah.
Wait, we talk in the podcast? I thought we just flashed everybody and then called it good.
Basically, what do you flash them though? I mean, that's right the now. Question.
What do I flash?
Also, my tits.
Franks and beans.
Joining me this week for some nerdy discussions about a lot of fun stuff. We're excited, especially Russ. We have my ever sensual co-host, Nicholas.
I am tickling my tongue while licking my nipples, as you said, sensual. Wait a minute. How does that work, you ask? I can't answer that without showing you.
You have like a venom tongue. Extreme. Just like snakes out of your mouth like an anaconda.
So disgusting.
Oh, man. another voice we have. Another voice we have is the effervescent Russell.
Wait, that's a worse sound effect. No, stop. Those are bad sound effects. Okay, that one's better. That's better. Stop that one.
That's a reference to our 50 Shades of Grey Mad Lib. And also with us, ladies and gentlemen, coming back out of nowhere once again.
Been so long.
Let me introduce you first. The man whose voice could tuck the pants off of any Cabal Emperor.
Luthia.
Absolutely. Hello. I think was the last time that I was on here back when I was caught hacking my lungs out.
Yeah, and he had to leave early.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has.
We spotted you. We thought you were dead, so we spotted you.
Oh.
We took all your stuff.
Sad day.
Good job. In reality, you did die. We just resurrected you.
I mean, this is accurate.
Solid rolls.
I'm officially undead at this moment.
Ooh. I mean, no, I have a diamond worth 300 gold, so we used Revivify. You're good.
Oh, okay. It took a nat 20, but we got you there.
Cool. Okay.
Luckily, we remembered to bring the stuff we needed to revive you this time.
Yes.
Well, the game plan for the night, it's going to mostly be gaming stuff. Surprise, surprise. First things first, because Russell's been super exciting and chomping at the bit. Russell, I want you to just
just let loose
and tell me all about what game?
Conan Exile.
Is that your best barbarian impression?
Yeah, that was a pretty bad barbarian. Disappointed. That was really bad.
No, my best barbarian impression is boy.
Boy.
Boy. Boy. Did you see that video where someone clipped every time I said boy? It was like an 8-minute video.
Boy. Yeah. Doesn't even remotely surprise me.
It's the amount of range he has saying boy, it's like it was different every single time. I was like, wow.
Oh yeah. Boy. Well, the character depth that's associated with every time he says boy is it grows. Like, it starts as like this term that he just uses because he's Kratos and he doesn't like anybody, and then it becomes this kind of term of endearment almost, which is kind of funny.
Right. Did you see the
it went from boy to boy.
Boy?
For anybody that's been living under a rock for the last month and a half, we are talking about the most recent God of War game.
I thought we were talking about Conan Exile.
Yes.
Slight side tangent.
We were talking about that one thing.
Did you see the other video where the voice actor for Kratos did a bunch of like dad jokes as Kratos?
No. That's amazing.
I will find it and I will send it to you guys because it's amazing.
Thank you.
He takes like moments from the game and like dubs over with like just a really bad dad joke in the moment. So
you
good.
Should
that's amazing.
You should post it to the Discord so that everybody that's listening can see it too.
Okay, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. All right, Russ, dive in. Tell me about Conan Exiles. Okay. Why should I play it?
Oh my gosh. So it's amazing. It
It's like really good.
It is. So, I mean, I've been a big fan of Conan ever since I was young. My dad read the books, and I saw them on a shelf, and I started reading them, which is, you know, like a 10-year-old kid. They're probably not exactly age-appropriate, because most of the time he saves the princess and then sleeps with the princess.
He doesn't just sleep with them. It's
repeatedly. Oh, that's true. No, he sleeps with like three different women throughout the course of a book. I have seriously thought about counting the amount of women that Conan has slept with, but it would be astronomical figures.
There's at least two.
There's at least 100.
Do Siamese twins count? Is that one or is that technically two?
You know what? The next time I see Conan, I'll ask him for you.
I would call that two. You got two distinct brains there.
I would say it's two. Two. Two, okay. Two.
Two, two.
Two, two.
Yeah, two, two.
Two, okay. In addition.
So I was kind of excited about this just because it exists inside, you know, it's taking a lot of inspiration from different Conan books. And you can tell that the people, it just because of some of the names of the trophies that I've read, you can tell these people are big Conan fans because so each, like, that you get a trophy for increments of levels that you reach. And it says things like a wanderer, a reaper, a slayer, which are all Conan books. Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Slayer, Conan the Reaper, Conan. It was always that's the way his books went. So you can tell that there's that love, and there's definitely some lore. Like, I came across this priest of Set the other day, which I don't know if anybody else is a big Conan fan, but Set. There is a recurring villain in the Conan universe, mostly associated with the comic books, and his name is Thoth Ammon. And he was just this recurring villain for Conan, because Conan it's a grimdark fantasy. And a grimdark fantasy is very little magic. But what magic there is, it's usually the villain. So in all the Conan books, Conan kills wizards. He is a mage slayer. That is what he does. And so there's this reoccurring villain called Thoth Ammon, who's this priest of Set, who comes across this magical item, and he manipulates political situations and people to do things, and Conan smashes, because that's what Conan does.
Conan smash.
That pretty much, I think of the Hulk, and you've got a pretty good idea of how Conan works, because Conan, and here's the thing, and I don't want to give the wrong context. Sorry, I know I'm going into a lot of other side tangents, but
yeah,
Conan
are we talking
idiot.
About the book series, or are we talking about the game? I'm confused.
Conan is actually very intelligent. He just has no care or desire to follow the winds of society. He thinks that anybody who is side talking or not saying what they mean is stupid. He does not like them. He usually punches them in the teeth because he believes in being forthright and saying what you want and taking what you want. He's actually a thief in several books because he takes what he wants and what he desires, and that's just the way it works. Anyway, total side tangent. But I came across this priest of Set, and he was talking about Thoth Ammon and saying, you know, he took the Ring of Set, which was originally in the region where Conan Exiles takes place, and you know, he's talking about how Thoth Ammon got it from here, and it's this powerful item. So there's all these little touches that call back to different Conan books and these characters and things that Conan has come across. But the game starts with your character being crucified. Okay, he is hung on a cross in the Exile Lands, and he has been shackled with a bracelet that keeps him in this area where people who have committed crimes are sent. And so there's kind of this big story, I mean, associated with all the exploration and everything. There is an underlying story to this game, which was a surprise to me, about trying to acquire all the magical items and performing the rituals to take the bracelet off and leave the Exile Lands. which is a cool touch. And there are little, like, little story points. There are little things that you can do. I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's this progression that you can take to get a complete story out of this, which is cool because the game's main focus is, of course, exploration, resource gathering, leveling up, and building your, for the lack of a better term, your kingdom, right? Because one of the key mechanics of the game is you can actually take and capture people that are called thralls, and you put them on what's called a Wheel of Pain. And it's basically a medieval instrument that was used to break the body and then break the mind. The monotonous task. Yeah, it's a gift. What can I say? It was just this monotonous. You did. You want to know who else was licking your nipples?
Yogg-Sothoth.
Hopefully.
So you have to put them on the Wheel of Pain, and then you feed them, and then there's a timer that counts down, and eventually they become your thrall. You put them in a place, and you can collect fighters, archers, blacksmiths, armorers, anything and everything, and they perform specific tasks for you. The armors and the blacksmiths, they decrease the resources needed to craft certain items. They also give you certain recipes. The fighters will fight on your behalf if somebody attacks your base. The same with the archers. You have dancers that make you happy.
I like the pause there.
Yeah. They take away your corruption because there's a system in the game of places where you go that have this thing called corruption, which slowly degrades your health and your stamina. You need dancers to help counteract that. So there's this whole mechanic of where you're basically building up your own kingdom because you're capturing these guys, and you actually have to take a special item called a cudgel that you go and use to knock them out, and then you tie a lasso around them, and you run them back to your base as they're dragging behind you on the ground. That's awesome.
So what's the main objective of the game?
The main objective is to get your bracelet off. The story. But I would say that's the story element to it. But the main objectives are exploration and growing and building yourself up to being a titan inside this world. There are all these different regions. I would probably say exploration is probably my favorite. I do enjoy the resource gathering. I don't know why. It's mostly because to get a lot of the resources, you have to do a lot of exploration. At a certain point, you need to make steel. To make steel, you need brimstone and tar. You get tar by skinning animals, putting them on the rack, and creating leather. And then you get tar from that, and then you have to collect brimstone from very specific places. For instance, the place that I go to farm for brimstone is this lake of pools with noxious gas seeping from them with these rock demons that lie beneath the waves. And the brimstone grows like these spires reaching out of the lake. And then surrounding it are these trees which are depicted as humanoids in these torturous poses, wrapped around each other. It's almost like an explosion took place and froze these people into petrified trees. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And then I've sent you guys pictures of different things that I've encountered. So the other day, our Nick and I's base got attacked while I wasn't there. So a lot of it got destroyed, and not a lot of it, but they broke in and they took everything. I had nothing left, aside from a few things of coal, and that was it, and some honey. But anyway, so they broke in. Well, then I repaired a couple of the walls. I didn't have enough to repair all the walls or enough time to repair all the walls and all the breaches, so I kind of just shored up where I sleep, and I just had everything on me, and I went to sleep. Came in the next day, and somebody had broken through the door. So I was getting continuously raided. So I knew that if I built up there, there wasn't a way that I could get back to where I was because I was going to get continuously raided. So I moved. So I grabbed everything that I could, everything that was left, and I moved further north, and then I put myself on top of a tower so that you have to climb the tower to get to my base, which is a pain in the butt. I know the route to take to make it there the easiest, but I still die quite a bit trying to get up here. So it's super difficult to get to. And one of the cool things is things render at a distance. So if you're far enough away, if you're far enough to actually see the top of the tower, my fort doesn't render in. So you can't see it unless you're actually near the tower and you physically look up.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
You can see what I've built.
I like but stuff like it's, that.
It's kind of hidden. It's kind of cool. I think I've picked a good area to rebuild, and I've rebuilt mostly. I've got everything that I need. But the view, because I'm on top of this tower that overlooks, you know, one direction, I'm overlooking the desert, which is the area that you start in. And then in the other direction, I'm looking out over the Northlands with the snow and the wooded areas. And there's a volcano in the distance. And then I can see the ruins of this society that lived here before all around me. And the fact that's what I built my new fort on was one of these towers that reaches up into the sky. And so it gives me this kind of really cool, amazing view. And that was something that I came across the other day. Just, I was like, I wonder if I can get to the top of that. And so I just started climbing, and eventually I got to the top and I took a picture and I sent it to you. To Brett and Nick, and I was like, this is the view, the north beckons, you know. Then you know, you turn a corner and you come across a tiger, and while running away from the tiger, an elephant starts charging across the prairie trying to trample you. Then you turn the next corner and you see a bear and a deer fighting, and it's just it's so cool. And I haven't even scratched the surface. I mean, mostly I've explored the desert, and then I've gone a little bit of the ways into the north, because you know, you've got weather changes. So as you progress further into the north, it gets colder. And then once you're cold for a certain amount of time, you start to get frostbite and your health degen. I was hunting fur, and I got pretty far into the north. Actually, I didn't get that far. I got past the edge of the north. And I was killing saber-toothed tigers because they were dropping fur, and my body died. And I died about 10 times trying to get back to it. Never could find it. I lost a whole lot of...
You can, like, craft, like, warmer clothes that, like, protect you from that, right?
You can craft warmer clothes that give you some protection.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I remember
seeing a streamer... I think they were somewhere it was like super hot, and so they had to like take everything they had off to make their character, like their body, last longer in that environment. I was like, right. Well, that's kind of trippy.
Yeah, and like so, I'm actually wearing a northern outfit with lots of furs and antler horns. And if I go into the desert, I'm actually hot. Whereas before, with a lot of the different stuff that I was wearing, it didn't have that temperature modulation that this armor does. And so all the different armors, they do different things. They provide different stat bonuses and stuff like that. So it allows you to build your character even more than, because it has an RPG element where you build up, you know, you can build up strength and grit and encumbrance and stuff like that to whatever you want to fit it to. And then your armor provides buffs in certain areas. So if you're trying to achieve a certain build, you can do that.
So does it
and then
have,
of course the weapons do a similar thing too.
As you're progressing through like different areas, is it just kind of an open, you go where you want, or is there like, if I go in this area, enemies are this level, so I have to wait till I'm able to do this before I can go in there? Or is it just you go wherever you want, as long as you craft the right kind of equipment for the area?
There's definitely like a difficulty spike.
Okay.
Like the north is, you know, you definitely don't, but you can come to the edge of the north and be fine. Some of the enemies that you come across are going to be a little bit more difficult, but there's also more resources. So it's a risk-benefit kind of equation. So you do, the area that you start out in is still super large. It's a very big area, but you don't have the resources that you need to really grow yourself and get the higher level armors and stuff like that. So eventually you have to branch out. I went further north into the desert, kind of, and I was like right in the middle of the map so that I could get over to the jungle, because there's a jungle that I haven't even explored yet, and I haven't explored most of the north. So I was kind of near the jungle, and then I was near the Forgotten City, which is again a difficult place, and then the north, so that I could go and collect resources. But I just ended up moving to the very edge of the north. And I'm fine. If I go too far or come across the wrong enemies, then I definitely have to be careful. I mean, the good thing is like if you die, your stuff drops and you can still go pick it up. Only the bad thing is other people can pick it up. And one of the things that I've noticed is sometimes your body doesn't appear right away for whatever reason. So sometimes you have to hang out in a super dangerous area for a while before your body respawns so that you can get the stuff off of it, which is a pain. I've lost a lot of stuff.
So it's a big PvE and PvP sandbox, right?
Yeah.
Because you mentioned came into your base and stole a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So it is PvP. There are PvP servers and PvE servers. PvE servers, you can only attack other people within a certain... you can never attack anybody's base, but you can kill them out in the wild still.
Oh, okay.
You can't destroy anybody's base.
And then on like a PvP server, everything's game.
Right, but you can only destroy people's bases from the hours of like 7 to 11.
Interesting.
So there's a certain window, because that's when most people are off of work and at home. That's when they set that window. So that's the only time that you can attack and destroy a base. In between those hours, you cannot destroy pieces of other people's base.
Interesting.
I think that that's a cool touch, because it does limit it so that you're kind of aware, you know, when you're going to get attacked so that you can prepare for it.
Yeah, I kind of dig that. Luthien, have you touched this game at all or seen anything about it before now?
I have not. I've seen a few very brief videos just of the opening areas. And then a long time ago, I saw something from, I believe it was from the beta, that somebody had summoned some giant Leviathan thing and was wrecking someone's base.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So a couple of other cool things. There are dungeons in the game where you can go through and you beat bosses, and you get basically like in Destiny, you get exotic gear that you can craft from them. Once you beat the boss, there's usually a place that you can find very specific recipes that you can only find in the dungeon or in other places. For instance, there's just so many cool things. I was exploring, and again, I saw this mountain, and I was like, it had a name, and I was like, I'm going to climb that mountain. I climbed up to the top of the mountain. There's a guy chilling there who is a mountaineer, and he says, oh, I see that you climbed to escape the world below as well. And then as I'm talking to him, I learned a recipe from him, which was for mountain climbing gear. So I have mountain climbing gloves and boots that allow me to climb other places. And it's hard to get to him, because you have to have a certain amount of stamina. And then you also kind of have to plan your route up, because otherwise you will fall and die because you will run out of stamina. You'll fall to your death. And so the dungeons are super cool. The individual crafting recipes. There was something else I was going to say, but I forgot what it was.
That's okay. I forgive you. Nick, I know you've had some various experiences with the game.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Well, I really like the game. I like the... if anyone's heard of Ark Survival, whatever the hell the game's called, like I've played that, and it reminds me very much of that, but in a different setting. Basically, Minecraft for adults, and I mean that in the best way. Mm-hmm. It's a, if you like gathering quests, or crafting in MMORPGs or just grinding stuff in general. It's a fantastic game. I mean, it's just fantastic. Regrettably, I haven't really had much time to play it. I know that originally it was the server situation that blocked me from playing with Russ for more than a couple of hours, really. Since then, though, I haven't had the time between vacation for the holiday weekend and kind of a new nighttime routine here at the house. They're just, and then Iron Banner at Destiny last week, that just killed any chances I would have had to play. So it is still obviously on my PlayStation, and I very much want to get back into it, but it might be a little bit yet before everything settles down. But I love the game. I like games like that, where you gather all of the materials and then you craft things to learn and to skill up and then to be able to craft better things. And then you gather something else that's better. It's like crafting in LOTRO.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I love that crafting system.
Right. But then you have the Minecraft aspect of it, where it gets plopped in your inventory and then you can plop it around. It's just, it's fantastic. It really is. So tried and true mechanics with a Conan skin. And mm-hmm. I don't think you can really go wrong with that combination, well, except for the servers.
Yeah. Did you want to touch real quick on that, since just in case someone really wants to get it from our talk, just so they know kind of what they're getting into, what to prepare for?
Russ, how's it been the last 2 weeks? Because I haven't even started the game up in over 2 weeks.
When it first came out, the servers were always full. You really had to be refreshing constantly to get in. But here lately, it's not been as busy. I can certainly see some servers that are usually full. But I haven't seen it go over 30 in like a week. Okay. When I'm logging in, and even during peak hours when I'm like, oh, Lindsay's doing a thing, I'm going to log in and right. go and mine a couple of things, get a couple of things in order. I haven't had an issue. I have had, they did an update Tuesday, and then they released a patch today, which I was hoping was going to fix this issue. But for some reason, like, well, first of all, I'm playing on just a basic PlayStation, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But it, like, if you're refreshing, I don't know if it's just because it's searching through so many things, if it just, it tends to not necessarily crash. It'll search the first time, but when I go to refresh, it just gets stuck in an eternal loop. So I have to back out and come back in. And then lately, my server that I play on hasn't been showing up in my favorites. So then I'll have to go and search for it, but then sometimes it isn't there. So I have to go back and refresh a couple of times before it'll actually even show up, which is annoying. But, you know, I don't mind it because I love the game so much that it's worth spending maybe 10 or 15 minutes trying to log in sometimes mm-hmm. so that I can log in and play, because it's a ton of fun. The graphics are pretty, I think they're pretty good. Especially when you come over and, you know, you're seeing the landscape below you and you're like, oh my gosh, this is just so cool.
Oh yeah. Some of the screenshots you've sent have just been breathtaking, except for the spider. Man. Screw that one.
Oh yeah. No, so I'm exploring and like,
I don't know. It was a pretty sexy spider.
I was just kind of wandering around killing people because that was the other thing I was going to, because
you have
gods that you can choose to worship in the game. And they are different gods from the Conan universe, such as Krom, who doesn't give you any benefits and who you can't summon or do anything with, but then there are ones like Mitra or Ymir or I can't remember a lot of the other names. But if you build up, so if you, what you do is you, as you kill people, you have a special instrument that you create at the altar. And then what you do is you use that to harvest things that you sacrifice to the gods, to your god. My god is Ymir. And what that does is eventually you upgrade your altar enough. You capture an archpriest, drag him back to your base, break his will, and then throw him on the altar.
Jesus.
That's Conan.
And actually, so the achievement that you get for putting your first thrall on the will is I care nothing for civilization.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. And then you make enough sacrifices and you get a medallion, which allows you to summon an avatar of your god.
Dang.
You're saving that to destroy somebody's base who's probably been picking on you or who you have a grudge against, because you will destroy everything that they have in their base. There is nothing that can withstand an avatar of a god, except maybe some of the top tier items. But even then, most of their base is going to get destroyed. Hmm. It is insane because they're 100 feet tall. So as like I haven't summoned one myself, but I've seen videos, and these guys are, you know, the guys that are running around with them are coming up to these gods' ankles, and the ground shakes with every step that they take, and they're huge, and there's a Cthulhu type monster that drains poison from him as he floats around, and then he'll sink into the ground and send out this pulse wave, or Ymir is this giant. He's an ice giant with great horns and an axe that he smashes on his boat. It's so cool.
I'm gonna have to look those videos up. Damn.
Oh my gosh.
About as scary as.
Oh, it's terrifying. It is terrifying. I would not want to be on
scary as what, Nick?
As scary as scary.
Yeah, amen. Preach it. Hashtag scary as scary, ladies and gentlemen.
Hashtag scary as scary.
Well, if you're okay with it, Russ, we might move on from Conan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, no, don't be, don't be.
There's just so many cool things.
You are one of the most like passionate people I know, and it makes me so happy.
He's also you can tell sprout.
Also that you can tell when you're really into. You'll be like, hey, how do you like this game? It's all right. All right, that game sucks. How do you like this game? Oh my God, Brett. I know I should probably get it.
I want you guys to play it with me so bad because you can form clans. And I made a friend the other day because he ended up, anyway, I'm sorry, I could talk about it forever. I'll shut up.
You're fine. Luthien, I know there was something that came out recently you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So.
Oh, geez.
The most recent and very polarizing, the Dark Souls 1 remaster.
Yes. I am excited to hear your opinion on this.
I've heard a lot about it. I'm excited.
There's a lot of back and forth, and it comes from a couple of different places. That you have the hardcore Dark Souls fans who've been with it since the beginning, who wanted this to be, well, one, they wanted it to be a remake, not a remaster. They wanted it to be completely rebuilt in the Dark Souls 3 engine, which it was never going to be.
Oh, for sure.
That would have just been way too much of a money sink, way too much, you know, time and effort into re-releasing this game that they just wouldn't make their money back.
Well, they might as well just make another Dark Souls game at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And so I understand them doing it as a remaster. And they also, like, they wanted all of these things changed, et cetera, which, again, time and money and, you know, If they had changed things, then you would have had the elitists saying, like, oh, no, right. It's different now. It's no longer true Dark Souls, yada, yada, right. Yada. Yeah. I very much appreciate it coming from the perspective of I got into Dark Souls late in the game, that I came in with Dark Souls 3 and then went back and played 2 and Bloodborne. And then I never really had a good way to play Dark Souls, the original, because I have a potato of a laptop. And I don't know if you've ever played through Dark Souls. Any of you listening, if you've played through Dark Souls, and I tell you Blighttown on PC, ugh, running no mods on a potato.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
On a good computer, running the a 60 FPS mod, Blighttown runs at about 15 FPS. On a potato computer, you might as well be playing a slideshow. And it's impossible. It's impossible. I got to the bottom, I killed Quelaag, and I could not get back up
for
weeks. And so I was so excited to finally be able to actually play it properly on console. And that's where I think that that's what this is for. This remaster was not for the hardcore players who've been playing it forever, who can run it on their nice PC. This was for new players coming into the scene who came in with Dark Souls 3, who came in with Bloodborne, who want to go back and play it. Now they can. And I think it's fantastic for that, because not only does Blighttown run at 60 FPS and it's beautiful, but also you've got some texture updates, which are great. And there's some quality of life updates, like being able to use more than one item at a time.
Oh.
But yeah. So like, for example, so in original Dark Souls, so for context, in original Dark Souls, you have these covenants that you can like pledge yourself to.
Yeah.
And you collect items for the covenant. You like offer them at an altar, and it you offer enough of them and it gives you items and whatever else. You could only do one of these at a time. And so when you have 50 of them in your inventory and you need to do them one at a time, it's a nightmare and a half. And so them correcting that and allowing you to do more than one covenant item at a time is a fantastic quality of life change.
I had forgotten about that. That's why I never did any of the covenants, because it was such a frickin' pain.
It's way too much of a pain. But now it's better, and I'm really excited. And I have it, and I've started playing through it, and I'm just enjoying it so much. It's not a significantly different... not significantly different graphics-wise. Once you're comparing it to, like, for example, Dark Souls 1 running on mods on a PC, but it still looks better than the original did on console. So happy about that. But generally, I'm just excited to finally be able to play Dark Souls again.
Yeah, it's funny that you'd mentioned the difference between like people that are hardcore people that have played it over and over and over, and then people in your situation that had the potato laptop. Most of the reviews I've seen, if someone is angry about it, it starts with, I've played this game 100 times and I'm upset. And then all the ones that have been like super positive have been, I was never able to play this and this is so much fun. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that sentiment is definitely shared everywhere. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't help that the Dark Souls community is not known for being the most
lenient,
welcoming.
Yeah.
To put it lightly. And so there's a lot of sort of built up toxicity there that you have to get through, but it has been really nice seeing that, you know, with these updated servers and with all the new players coming in, that the online play is much better. And I know on PC right now, they've got a lot of issues with, it being invaded by a flood of hackers, but on console, you don't have that problem. And so the online play has been very fun and I've been enjoying it a lot.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Another Dark Souls title for you. Go ahead.
Who?
Yeah.
Everybody at once.
Ready? Go.
Go. I've been looking forward.
I planned that, sorry. Okay, this time I mean it.
I've been really looking forward to the remaster. I haven't gotten it yet, but I played the heck out of Dark Souls 1. Because I got it, I didn't come into it when it first came out because I had seen it, I heard how difficult it was. I wasn't sure that I wanted to make that kind of commitment or if I would enjoy that kind of play style. But eventually I picked it up because I was looking for a new RPG and I had heard that it was one of the best. And so I picked it up and I loved the heck out of that game. It was difficult and trying, but there were a lot of things that it made, oh crap, there's an elephant there. What?
Everyone's just got an elephant in the room. Might as well address it, Russ.
Oh, shoot.
Happy birthday.
No, so it's getting dark. Sorry, I'm playing Conan Exiles because why not get in the mood while you're talking about it? And I'm running. So it's dark, and I was pretty sure a hyena was following me, but I knew that I could outpace it. And then I come around the corner and an elephant charged into my face and stampeded me. And very nearly killed me.
You're not making it sound any less sexual.
You know what?
I want you to say stampeded again, please.
The elephant stampeded me.
No, yeah. Just the word stampeded.
Stampeded.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And boom goes the dynamite.
I'm so glad I could help.
Nick. Dearest yes. Nick, have you been playing anything new besides Conan?
If you can call it that, playing it. not.
Besides playing the menu screen of Conan?
Not, yeah.
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
To fill kind of the same itch, I picked up Stardew Valley again for the Switch.
Oh, I know you used to love playing that.
Oh, yeah, no, I still love playing it. And it's just as wonderful as I remember. I started a new farm, and it was just something I could pick up and play for 10 minutes and feel like I actually accomplished something in a video game. And Stardew Valley. It's been a lot of fun to go back. I started a new farm, doing things very differently this time. So it's fun. Aside from that, I've been like literally just devouring Critical Role episodes as soon as they come out. And if I'm not able to catch them live, cough right now, cough. And anxiously awaiting the continuation.
You're not bitter, are you?
Of the adventures of Hattrick.
Yes.
Tomorrow night and then Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. And I might be extra loopy, by the way, because Sunday we're running the Tough Mudder at noon.
Oh, that's right.
It comes back. And then we get to do D&D. So Jayeg is going to be interesting.
Have fun with that.
If he survives.
You've been fighting a lot, so it makes sense that Jayeg would be a little fatigued. So that's true. You can add that to the roleplay.
Right. He just collapses.
That will be really interesting because there are going to be some things that occur on Sunday after we get out of the temple.
No spoilers.
I like that.
No
if you
spoilers.
Go see this movie, things occur.
What if Russell, what if we die? What if we just throw ourselves off from a cliff?
Then hopefully you'll build new characters and then you'll have to start fresh without any of the clues that you've gathered or any of the activities that you've done. Your reputation, you'll have to build your reputation anew because
what about the metagaming
you guys
pigeon?
Haven't necessarily realized that the metagaming pigeon. No metagaming pigeons. So,
dang it.
I carry an airsoft rifle specifically for that.
So plot twist, you play D&D and nothing happens.
Ooh,
something gavel. You expect something to occur and nothing occurs.
Right. You enter the next room of the dungeon and
in a corner.
Nothing. It's empty.
3 hours of sitting quietly.
You're locked in there, just all of you, for 4 hours.
You know what?
What do we see? What do we see? Roll me a perception check.
You see literally nothing.
there are white walls.
It looks similar to the room before, but there is a draft coming from the left. What do you do? Oh, we're going to go through that door. Is there anything there? Roll me another perception check. Natural 20. You are positive that there is a door on the opposite side of that chamber.
Yeah, that's what we should do.
You know what? You guys are joking, but that's not. Having nothing occur is sometimes a better plot twist than having something occur.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Oh, man. So, all right, moving on here.
Oh, yeah.
Not moving on here. What's up, dude?
Oh, no, nothing. You've got an agenda. I was going to bring up a new topic, but...
No, man, go for it.
Agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You're not here very often, so there's something you want to talk about, man. Bring it.
Con season is upon us.
Follow the agenda anyway.
Con season?
It is con Star Trek season.
Con! All right. Oh.
Are any of you guys planning on going to any conventions this summer?
I would love to, but probably not.
I'm going to try to go
That's
to
gonna be my
the Denver Comic Con.
Hmm. I hope to see you there.
So that would be lovely.
When I'm rich, I plan on just the entire con season. I'm going to just go to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just have a different costume for every one of them and just go to all of them.
For anyone going to Denver Comic Con, Luthien, do you have something going on or something?
I do, actually. On Saturday, Denver Comic Con, we're going to be doing a panel.
What?
About aging, weathering, and distressing of cosplays. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's called Needs More Dirt. And yeah, you can come see me and some of my Wasteland friends talk about how to make things look dirty. If any of you are actually from Denver or flying into Denver for the convention for some reason, there's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there all 3 days, and you can come bug me.
Dirty or dirty?
Yes.
They're going to show you how to drop penises on your clothes.
It's really not that hard. I mean, you just take a Sharpie.
They're going to show you how to draw a floppy. Oh, you didn't mean hard as in difficult, not a drawing a hard dick. I'm sorry.
So I've actually been watching. I've been watching a lot of Maker videos. Specifically, I've been watching Adam Savage Tested. I don't know.
He's got some excellent.
And he talks about how his favorite thing is distressing. And I'm like, because it adds so much detail, and it really does. It gives it that life that is missing in something that's perfectly made. Yeah. So you make something perfect and then you distress it, and it does so much. And so add more dirt. It holds a greater meaning now that I've watched some of those videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the phrase specifically, needs more dirt, spelled MOAR, more dirt, has become somewhat of a meme in the Wasteland community, that anytime someone posts a new cosplay they're working on, or a new Wasteland kit, it always needs more dirt. And so that's, and you touched on, that so many cosplays, they just look kind of flat and unlived in because they're perfectly clean. That they've stitched them together from fabric straight from the store and then haven't done anything else to them. And so it looks like a costume.
Yeah,
we're hoping to raise awareness for weathering and distressing of cosplays and sort of how much it can do for you.
Also, another Conan Exiles thing.
you can distress your armor.
There's lots of dirt.
Oh, there you go.
I think, yes.
Dirt.
The end.
Oh, man.
The end. That's it. So much dirt.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to try really hard to go there on the day you're doing your panel. I would love to see that. That'd be amazing.
It'll be on Saturday. I think tickets for Saturday are still available.
And how exciting to have your own panel. Like, just to say this, I'll be on a panel at Denver Comic Con.
A panelist? I get my special panelist badge.
Look at you go, fancy pants.
Right.
Fancy.
Do you get a name placard?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Good. Just take it. Make everyone in the crowd sign it and tell them that they are your biggest fans. Really mess with their heads.
Biggest fan. What is that from?
What?
Nothing.
No, it's in a. I'll get back to it. I'll figure it out.
It might be, but I wasn't pulling it from something. I was pulling it out of my ass.
Oh, damn. Cue cards, ladies and gentlemen. That's where we store them. The next couple things I really wanted to talk about, there were a couple trailers for some shooters coming out in October that surprisingly got me excited that I wanted to talk about. First off, just because it's a super surprise, it's something I've not been into since like 2011, Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Call it by its real name. Cod Blops.
Cod Blops. I haven't heard that yet. I'm not kidding.
Cod Blops? Are you kidding me?
I've never heard Cod Blops. No.
Cod Blops. Oh,
that's amazing. Cod Blops 4, ladies and gentlemen. Nope.
Or the, for any fans of Zero Punctuation, Spunk Gargle Wee Wee.
You know, you are the only person that I've met that knows about zero punctuation. I had a friend of mine introduce me to phenomenal. It, and it's hilarious.
It is amazing.
Zero punctuation is phenomenal.
I've and spent yeah, too many nights like, oh, I'll just check this new one out, and then, oh, I haven't seen this one in years, this one, and, oh, God, it's 4 in the morning.
Yeah. That's Jake and I ending up to speed videos from Donut Media. I can't believe I just fucking said I watch car YouTube videos. God, I'm changing.
Oh, you already talked about it on the show before, so ha ha ha.
No, he did.
You can't escape.
But yeah, so the trailer popped up on my Facebook feed, and I was like, oh my God. Call it like seeing anything on a franchise with like the number 4 on it. Of like a sub-series inside a series. I was like, what even is happening? Black Ops 4? And then, so I just clicked on the trailer, and it's the first time in years I actually went, huh. And then it kept going.
Tell me why.
It was the,
what was it about it?
It was the multiplayer trailer, and one of the main reasons I haven't touched Call of Duty in a long time is because they went super futuristic with like jetpacks, and they were all like, all the skins were bright. It was like a gritty graphically Fortnite with jetpacks, and I was like, I'm not into this, and you know, like dab emotes and shit like that, and I was like, yeah, no, this isn't what I want out of a Call of Duty game. And then the multiplayer trailer for this popped up, and it was just purely infantry. It was just guys being dudes with guns killing each other, and I was like, all right, I can get behind this.
Another quick question that kind of plays off of that before I guess we move from there. So you spoke a little bit about it. I haven't been a Call of Duty fan since Call of Duty 2, I think. And back then I was in high school and my friend's username was a squirrel and mine was a chipmunk. And so in the kill feed, it was insert name here was killed by a chipmunk. And we were like, oh, that's funny.
How was that again?
No, so anyway, I haven't touched it since then. And I admit I was more of a Medal of Honor fan and then a Battlefield fan. And Call of Duty always felt very Counter-Strike-y. Hopefully anyone that plays shooters, like, you know what I mean when I say Counter-Strike-y? Like very, I felt like there's no weight to anything.
What do you mean? What are you saying to me, Nick?
It's more it felt like a way really fast paced like Twitch shooter instead of an actual like.
I'm kidding.
Right.
Well, so, in case someone didn't know, we had to describe it anyway.
Yes.
Look,
like Left
nobody
for
else
Dead.
Matters for except for me.
Huh?
Nothing.
When did you
racism? Racism. No. So anyway, like I haven't played. I never played COD Blops or COD Blops 2 or COD Blops 3, or Call of Duty. Since Call of Duty 2. So what drove you away from Call of Duty? Because you said you haven't like pursued Call of Duty for some time. So can you be specific for my sake? We've honestly never talked about this. So this is
it's basically for the podcast sake. What I already said earlier, where it just got super
God damn, you're a jerk.
Too futuristic and just like really cartoony, but without graphically being like the color palette change, it was super bright and neon. They had like you had fireworks coming out of your jetpacks while you're wall jumping and dabbing while freaking teabagging people in midair, and it was just the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so for it to go back, because I was really big in COD 4, Modern Warfare 2, I was really into the first Black Ops, and I kind of fell off after that. But to see them go back, and I really wasn't into World War II one, because it looked like it should have came out like 8 years ago, like graphically and gameplay wise, it looked like an older game because they haven't updated their engine since like you were in high school. But so seeing the multiplayer trailer and it literally just being guys with grenades and, you know, semi-future, like it's still bullets and everything, just sort of in the future, just being commandos with different guns and killing people and capturing points and communicating and moving around a map together. I was like, all right, this is what I used to love playing. And so that's actually piqued my interest a lot for that reason.
Hmm.
Yeah.
plus the zombie mode looks amazing, which is the reason that I have always played Black Ops, is specifically because of the zombie mode.
Now, can you play zombie mode in multiplayer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the whole point of it, yeah.
Then I would be honest with you, if I got COD Blops, like my primary would be cooperative multiplayer, because competitive, you've played The Crucible with me, you've played Underwatch with me. Anyway.
Well, and I think that's the fun part of zombies, especially my favorite was Call of Duty Black Ops 2, I believe, where it had like the 50s, and you were, you know, men in black sent to, or the CDC sent to, you know, defend against the zombie hordes. I played the heck out of that with my roommate. He would come home from work, because I work from home, again, seems to be a pattern here. And I'd be like, hey, and our thing was zombie almost. So we would just play zombies all night.
Oh, yeah.
All night. And it was so much fun.
Well, the really cool thing with zombies in this one is it's not just like one specific, they actually have three different modes for zombies in Black Ops 4.
Right.
So there's, Nick, you'll like all this. So there's one that takes place like on a 1920s cruise ship. So the whole zombie horde mode takes place on a cruise ship in the 20s. They have one that takes place in like a gladiatorial coliseum with like spears and swords and stuff. And then they actually have a third one that's going to be more like a modern version. So there's three different completely separate storylines and gameplay loops and weapons to do in zombies, which is super interesting. And it looks like it's actually going to have like a story arc with it while you're playing them.
So does this all ship with the game or is zombie mode DLC?
Nope. The big thing is all, there's a lot of games coming out this year where all the DLC is marketed as being free in the future.
Good.
So yeah, that's been an interesting turn. But yeah, so with the shipped game, and this is partly why they're adding all this other stuff, because they're not doing an actual campaign, which makes me kind of sad, but I get it. Statistically, in the last, like, I think it came out the last 4 years, 97% of the people that bought the game never ever opened the campaign.
And that's so, a waste of development money at that point.
Exactly. So that's what they decided. So it's going to ship with the multiplayer, zombies, and then Blackout, which is Call of Duty hitting up the Battle Royale. Hitting the Battle Royale train. That I'm interested to see. Get
that Battle Royale money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, one thing for Ian is interesting for me with that is I haven't been a big Battle Royale person, but having a company that's done shooters for this long with the polish that they, I mean, Call of Duty games can get kind of bleh because they've never changed the engine, but it's really polished and it's a smooth gameplay. And so I'm interested to see how a Battle Royale can work in that world. Because what they're doing is the Battle Royale map is literally like every multiplayer map they've ever had put together as one giant map.
Jeez.
With vehicles, and you can, like, any character that's been in any campaign you can play as your character in the Battle Royale mode. And I'm really interested to see how that turns out. Because you have... Go ahead.
I was actually just reminiscing because I was thinking about, you know, when I lived in Utah and I played a lot of Call of Duty. It was a lot of fun. Like I had almost forgotten how fun it was, because what we'd do is we'd get together and we'd have basically LAN parties where we'd have a couple of Xbox Ones going and we'd be playing Call of Duty in a couple of different rooms and we'd have tournaments, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reminiscing about, you know, that might be a fun thing to play with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It'd be kind of fun to kind of relive that. Because when I was playing COD a lot, too, that was like in high school also. And so it'd be kind of interesting to kind of relive that. Because I played the hell out of Modern Warfare 2 and COD 4. And even, do you remember that there was that video game cafe, like in that shopping center attached to your neighborhood? There, Russ, for a while there. They used to run a bunch of local tourneys there, and I used to go to those all the time. Oh, those were good days. But yeah, it's kind of like, it's interesting, like, something that kind of takes me back to another part of my gaming life, and then it's interesting to me now. I'm kind of excited in a weird giddy way.
I think I'll have to get it mostly just so I can play zombies with you guys.
I think that could be a lot of fun.
I have Advanced Modern Warfare. Is that the one? And I got really, because it had a mode too. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get this. Nobody else plays it.
Right.
Nobody else plays. I mean, I also got it a few months after it came out, so a lot of the fun had worn off. Yeah.
Right. And then one last thing with Call of Duty Black Ops 4. This is kind of an interesting turn. The PC version is going to be on battle.net only. So
that is interesting.
Again, I will never play a PC again if I can help it. So if I get it, I'll be getting it for the Slay Station.
Oh, for sure.
See what I did there?
I just thought that was super interesting because Destiny 2 went to battle.net, and then this is going to battle.net also. It shows that their platform is just super stable.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to become Activision's PC platform,
which is super interesting.
It is. It really is.
I'm excited. You can sign up for the beta.
Battle.net is Blizzard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Battle.net is Blizzard's.
Yeah.
Technically, it's Blizzard's, but it's Activision Blizzard.
Yeah. But yeah, so the beta, you can sign up for the beta, and I think the beta's in July, and then the game launches in October. So there we go.
Well, that's a little bit of time for me to budget.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So, just really quickly going back to the topic of Battle Royales, what are your guys' thoughts on the PUBG Fortnite lawsuit that's happening?
Which one? Wait,
the loot
the
box
one where PUBG is suing Fortnite because they stole
which time?
This most recent one.
Oh, okay.
It's the big one.
The one that'll probably end the last seven times have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because an article came out showing the numbers that PUBG is dropping dramatically and Fortnite's getting super popular dramatically. And then like the week after that article came out, they came out suing Fortnite, which is hilarious.
Yep. So, why are they suing Fortnite?
Apparently stole their formula, which is the Battle Royale formula that's been around for forever.
Exactly. Which PUBG took from someone else, which took from someone else, which took from someone else.
And now PUBG is trying to lay claim to it.
PUBG, the last like 3 years, they've been like suing everyone they can possibly find that does anything closely related to a battle royale. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to sue Activision and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of PUBG until like spring.
Yeah, it had a really short window of it got really big really quick and then kind of died off super fast because it wasn't very well optimized. It was early access.
Well, and it was PC only, right? It just recently came out on consoles, and from what I heard when it first came out on consoles, it was only on Xbox. I heard that it didn't work as well on console as it did on
PC. It's because the control scheme was all made for PC, so like it reuses basically the whole keyboard. Mm-hmm. And you try and translate that onto a gamepad, like it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it's kind of ironic actually because. So PUBG is built in, I believe, the Unity engine. I think it's Unreal. Actually, I think it's in the Unreal engine.
It's the Unreal engine, and who makes the Unreal engine?
Epic Games.
Who
makes Fortnite?
Ha!
The funniest thing ever. Like they are literally suing the people who run the engine that they're using.
That seems like bad business.
Oh, it's so good.
It seems like stupidity is what it seems like.
Basically, yeah, it's pretty funny.
But it doesn't seem like stupidity. It seems like greed, which can often be confused with stupidity.
It seems like
two go hand in hand.
Gluttony, which can often be confused for gas.
All right. That fart is our segue into the next shooter coming out. Which also comes out in October, which also has a beta in July. I'm dying here.
It's going straight for the competition points there.
Battlefield 5.
Competed in everything.
Everything so far. So where Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is going back to being sort of futuristic and not super futuristic, Battlefield 5 is going back to its original roots from the first game and going back to World War II.
So just like Call of Duty did a little, what, last year?
Yeah, although it looks like they're not trying to go for realism. They're going for campy, stylized, over-the-top, just like action fun.
You know what? That could be fun, though. Yeah. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad way to go.
Well, yeah, the big thing for me was when that trailer came out, like, I was super hyped, and then a lot of people were like, I got in a big fight with a bunch of friends recently, but a bunch of people were like, that's hashtag not my Battlefield, you know. Doesn't look anything like Battlefield. That's so unrealistic. And I was like, if you watch the trailer, it's a multiplayer trailer. The trailer is showing how the game actually plays. All that stuff happening in the trailer is stuff I've done in game during a round. Not a single actual round of Battlefield is actually a realistic play out of a battle in any way, shape, or form. And that's what the trailer was. It was just showing the kind of shit people do.
Over the top, crazy. Everything is happening at once. And like, I get like the tone that I'm getting from this, especially with some of the stylistic choices that they made, the color palette especially, and then like the one lady's robot arm. Like, they're not taking this seriously. And that's fine. I think that's a good thing. I don't know, Battlefield has kind of always just had this reputation of being the realistic one. That theirs was always the grounded one, while Call of Duty was off doing their thing. And it'll be interesting to see how the Battlefield community reacts to the campy funness. I'm fine with the campy funness, but it'll be interesting to see how the community at large deals with it.
Yeah.
There was a game. I thought it was a Battlefield game, but maybe not. Something Band of Brothers or...
Oh, Bad Company.
I remember there was a Bad Company.
That did really well. Best Battlefield game ever, hands down.
And that was a Battlefield game, right?
Yep.
And it was campy. Like, it was kind of... It was
very much so.
Inglourious Bastards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... We know that that can do well. I don't understand. I think that sometimes people are, I think it's funny how they'll complain that everything is the same, and then when something is different, they're like, "Oh, this isn't my Battlefield. This isn't you know."
Well, and I think the fact that they're doing the campy funness in World War II has just irritated a lot of the purists, because like that's. You know, you start touching World War II, you're going to get like the reenactor level people crawling out of the woodwork who are just going to critique every little detail.
For sure. Well, I think the big thing is it's not so much they've gotten silly, it's just they've embraced what actually happens when you play their game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they're kind of leaning into it.
Mm-hmm, just for sure.
Just send
it's a video game. Like, aren't they supposed to be fun?
No.
Isn't that?
It's life. Bro.
Well, I applaud the fact that they're doing something different, because we've gotten realistic World War II from Battlefield before.
Mm-hmm.
So let's revisit World War II. Right. I mean, if I had my way, I'd go back to the first Medal of Honor game for PS2, was it?
I think so.
Gosh, yeah. Medal of Honor. Whatever happened to Medal of Honor?
I loved the Medal of Honor.
They
was a Medal
flopped
of Honor
a few
fan.
Times in a row, sadly.
Yeah, and then they relaunched, and then it flopped again. But anyway, I flopped like a Magikarp.
Whoa. That's quite a bit of flopping.
Anyway, I applaud them for revisiting it and doing something different, because it's not... you can do the same thing repeatedly and expect, you know, lots of money, which many game developers done, themselves included, or you can just... Like Alex said, you know, you're just Alex Luthien. Sorry, ridiculousness. You're just embracing the ridiculousness, leaning into it, and hoping for the best. I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not like the company is going to disappear and never release another Battlefield game again. Look at what happened after Battlefield 3. They came back. So, I like it. I think it's cool.
Sure.
Between the two, because I probably won't get both games, COD Blops 4 or Battlefield 5, I'll probably get Cod Blops because it's got zombies, and zombies sounds like horde mode, and horde mode makes me think of Gears of War, and Gears of War makes me think of sandbags, and sandbags make me think of fun.
I liked how they went together. That's awesome.
That was a real convoluted way to get to where you were going, but I see what you did there.
Don't talk to me like you know me, Russell.
Luthien, fun thing for you, because you brought up people freaking out about it not being realistic. So her robot arm, her aesthetic, actually I saw this on Twitter the other day, this guy posted, he was showing his grandpa the trailer, and he looked at the arm and was able to name exactly the make and model of it, and showed a picture of him in World War II with that exact same prosthetic arm.
That's amazing.
He's like, yeah, that's a real thing. I wore it. He actually had it in a trunk and took it. Like, the guy had a picture of the actual arm his grandpa had in World War II.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, that's fantastic.
That's the kind of like bizarre, obscure little thing that is going to piss off so many people. And there's going to be all these people being like, no, that's actually a real thing. And then they're going to get all uppity and like, oh, well.
Like having a woman on the cover.
It's going to be great.
Gasp. Yeah. God, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wait, was that a thing people got upset about?
Oh, the internet blew. Okay. So the fun thing about the internet is a lot of people forget that the United States of America isn't the only country in the world.
It isn't?
Fun fact, United States of America isn't the only country in the world. So when the woman is on the cover of Battlefield 5, the internet, not the whole internet, but a lot of people exploded are like, women were not in World War II. This is so inaccurate. Blah, 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 blah.
Maybe in the United States military, you dinguses.
Exactly. That's what, like, I mean, there's a lot of women in the United States military, but they were, I mean, not a lot of them were combat, but countries around the world, you forget, Europe was messed up. They're doing everything they could to survive. Like, there was a lot of badass women doing stuff in World War II.
So you're telling me that people were upset about a fantasy game having what they perceive to be a fantasy element. And I mean fantasy as in a game of fiction based around what they perceive to be fiction. Life. Whatever.
I'm not thinking that you understand the word fantasy, because that means they are fans. And fans have to be loyal, and fans have to be purists.
Yeah, video game fans haven't been loyal to anything in the last like 10 years.
They've been loyal to their own. I'm not even.
Yeah, exactly.
Another podcast for another day.
Yeah. I think. I mean, you know, you run the risk of being of overgeneralizing, but the vast majority of video gamers, because they live on the internet, is not the vast majority. I would say quite a few. Live on the internet and therefore have embraced the troll nature of the internet, which is stupid because they may love the game for whatever reason. It is more popular to be cynical and a douche. The end.
I liked it. But yeah. Moving on from that.
Segways.
Fun things coming with Battlefield 5 is the usual, you know, just giant Battlefield style tanks, jeeps, motorcycles, airplanes, all the works. My son just woke up, enjoy that. So a few things coming. They're bringing back war stories, which they did in Battlefield 1. Instead of having just a generic campaign, they have miniature storylines from things that happened during the war, where you can kind of live those moments as just a regular person there, which is kind of cool. Grand Operations, which is literally what they've done with Battlefield, but even bigger than they've ever, like, just Battlefield, you know, but on a much bigger scale, which is insane that they can do that, because they're already pushed the limits of what you can do in a multiplayer shooter for the last, like, 10 years.
Right.
Let's see here. Let me check this out real quick. A brief Grand Operations take things further by incorporating new gameplay and locales taking place over several in-game days. So it's going to be an ongoing day-night cycle while you're doing these giant missions.
Grand Operations features a tug-of-war style approach to engagement. Each victory will give the winning side added momentum, while the losing side will still have to overcome increasingly difficult obstacles, including less ammo and tickets for the next round. Compared to Battlefield 1's Operations and Xscale feature more variety. That's awesome.
It's cool stuff, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Why do I hear like moaning in the background?
That's my son waking up.
Oh, poor thing.
Bobby.
He'll be fine.
Wee Bobby.
He'll just crawl out of his crib and his head. Everything's fine. Nothing to worry about here. Everything's fine. This will excite you, Nick, because of the reason you're excited for zombies. Combined Arms is a new feature. It's a brand new 4-player co-op mode in Battlefield. Mm-hmm. Players can take their custom soldier. Also, fun fact, they're adding like complete soldier customization to Battlefield finally, which is something a lot of people have asked for a long time. So your 4-player co-op, where you can take your custom soldier and take part in a series of missions with other players. In these levels, the soldiers will have to complete a variety of different objectives, such as paratrooping behind enemy lines to secure assets, putting players in battles against increasingly difficult odds and challenging goals. An AI mission director will add in new obstacles and spawn enemies depending on how your squad is performing. So if you're doing awful, it'll make it easier for you. If you're doing really good, it'll just keep ramping it up until you hit a wall. All progress gained from combined arms for your soldier and their class can be carried over into core multiplayer modes. So it'll actually be leveling you up in all the entirety of the game, not just in that specific thing.
That's cool.
They've added building, fortifications. You can actually, it's not going to be like Fortnite where you push a button and like a brick wall appears in front of you. Like you actually have to like, speaking of sandbags, which equals fun, you can build your own cover with like sandbags and whatever you can find odds and ends and actually build yourself cover on the field, which is pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So is there like a crafting where you collect debris and things that you find around the field and then use them to create, or is it?
I haven't seen anything about this in the trailer, but from what it looked like, there's a moment in the trailer where people are actually like dragging sandbags over and stacking them up. So I'm thinking it's going to be like like whatever you have near you, you can just impromptu make something and talk amongst yourselves. My wife is not getting the child, so I'll be back.
You have to, Russell, you have to assemble the sandbags with individual grains of sand, and you have to collect the burlap.
Uh-huh.
Or if you can't find the burlap, you have to craft the burlap. So
leave your own little grasses.
Really?
No.
Sounds like Conan Exiles.
Sounds like D&D Beyond.
I love D&D.
I know. I can't wait for the recap. That's my favorite part of the show. Those of you listening at home, I can't wait to record D&D this week.
I'm hoping. So I'm actually hoping that people are in the chat, because what I'd like to do is get people to ask questions too as part of the recap, so they can ask questions about thought processes or story pieces or things.
You're thinking like a Tox Machina, but for the hat.
Yeah.
What do we call it? We call it Out of the Hat.
Out of the Hat. Oh, Nick, that is brilliant.
I just pulled it out of my hat. I don't know what I was thinking.
You've got a gift for naming, my friend.
I don't know what happened, but it sounded amazing.
We're gonna start our own Tox Machina talk show.
Yeah,
called Out of the Hat.
I like it. All right, let me quickly finish up Battlefield here so we can move on. We're running a little late here.
Must be a short game.
Well, this is just stuff we've heard about. E3 is coming up. We'll hear way more about it. This is just the stuff people have been able to pick. Yeah. Tides of War. DICE plans to gradually roll out new content on set schedule known as the Tides of War. This feature will also include timed events focused on particular battles. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, they're calling their free DLC Tides of War. So instead of saying DLC is coming out, it's free. It's just content that comes out over time for free and called something different. Also, fun fact, just because it is EA, there will be zero microtransactions in Battlefield 5.
Good.
What?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see how I will remain optimistic. Embrace nothing.
Remind me, who is the developer for Anthem? Is that EA?
BioWare.
EA and BioWare.
Yeah.
So that makes me one of the big things.
There shouldn't be any microtransactions in that, too. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping, because one of the big things for me was worried about Anthem was microtransactions. So the fact that that's not going to be in Battlefield 5 kind of gives me a little more hope.
Apparently, yeah. Anthem is they're teasing a ton, like an info dump for Anthem at E3, because apparently Anthem launches this holiday season.
I thought it wasn't launching till next year.
I might be misinformed. Keep in mind, my source here is Reddit.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'll look at that. Last I heard, they pushed it back to the first quarter of 2019.
It looks good. I mean, it literally, I'll play it. I'll buy it and play it. I know that already, unless they seriously bomb and it's got mechanics like Hello Kitty Hide and Seek or Barney Hide and Seek.
Those were amazing games. You watch your mouth.
They were. They were, but I've been there, done that. I can only put so many red little bows on little Chinese girl dressed as kitten's head. I will buy it and I will play it because it will fulfill my I want an Iron Man suit fantasy.
Yeah, no, that's one of the coolest things. I mean, I'm hoping that it delivers on what, the computerized trailer that they've put out promises, because it looks like a cool game. And I'm just hoping that it at least semi-delivers on being able to fly. That's freaking awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It looks cool. That looks cool on it. I'm excited about it. I haven't seen a lot, so I kind of forget about it from time to time. And then I'm like, oh, that looks cool. Oh, yeah, wait, what is this? That looks cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's, they did that really awesome trailer last year. And then, there's been nothing since, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because, the big thing with The Division is they announced it, 4 years early and did nothing but show everything they could until it launched. And so it was just like, ugh. So I like this style of going, look how cool this could be. And everyone make your own thoughts and predictions for a year.
I also feel like they sat and they watched, what happened with Destiny 2? What happened with The Division? What happened with the tail end of Destiny 1? And I feel like if they're smart, well, I mean, specifically games that fill the same...
Oh, the same role,
the same genre. Or not even genre, but scratch the same itch. We really got The Division in Destiny at the moment. Unless you're going to go play Diablo, but then that's not the same. It's not a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I were them, I would have been paying really close attention to the launch of Destiny 2 and these last 6, 7 months, 8 months, almost a year. I don't know where time has gone with Destiny 2. They better have taken some damn good notes, because lot to learn, my friend. There's a lot to learn.
It's a rough genre to do right.
Right. You're trying to blend one of the most casual genres out there, shooters, with the most intense genre out there, the MMORPG.
Right.
You're trying to blend them. And it's like, how is this going to work?
Right.
We'll see. I have high hopes, because it looked good. Number one, aesthetically pleasing. That's the biggest check mark for me, even with board games. I hate to admit it. If it doesn't draw my attention or interest immediately, I'll pass it over. Sorry.
Right.
It checks that box right away. So it's like, okay, if the gameplay can be even half as good as stuff that came out 5 years ago, they might really be onto something. And Iron Man suits.
Right. That's all you need. One last
thing. Well, and the ability to mod your Iron Man suit. Sorry.
No. You're totally fine. Totally fine. Hopefully we'll hear more at E3. But the last thing with Battlefield 5 is it's not on the list, but it's been rumored that it's going to do Battle Royale as well. So we'll see how that goes. That'll be interesting to see. Call of Duty and Battlefield are going completely neck and neck here. same beta, same launch day. They're both going to attempt to outdo Fortnite and do Battle Royale. But for me, I think Battlefield could do it better, because it already does... basically that. You just start with guns, but it already does the big giant map with vehicles and a fun sandbox and stuff, so it'll be interesting to see who does that better.
Well, they always have been neck and neck.
Oh, yeah.
They always come out at the same time. They're always, you know.
I have to look up what the game is, but I saw a trailer the other day. Apparently some indie company that's done a bunch of smaller games, like, put all their eggs in one basket and are trying to basically... Well, Battlefield hasn't done a modern shooter in a while, so they're basically trying to take that market in the next year or so. So that'll be interesting to see. The trailer looked really good, but I got to find that for you guys. Do we want to hit up real quick what's coming out next month, and then we'll wrap up the show? Since we usually do that for Nerd Talks towards the end of a month, is the game's coming out next month.
As long as we still get to do my recap.
It'll have to be super short, sorry. But we can do that for sure.
No recap. I want the recap.
I didn't say no. I just said it's got to be short.
I've been looking forward to the recap since the last time I looked forward to the recap.
Okay, let me get through this. No, I'll just skip it. You're fine.
No, go ahead. I do it.
No, there's like do nothing it. Good on this list.
Oh, is there not?
That's super weird. There's like nothing good coming out in June. Yeah. All right. Never mind. I just went through the whole list here, and yeah, nothing good. Go ahead. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. There are games coming out next month. If there's something you're interested in, I apologize that I think they don't look interesting. There you go. All right, Russell, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was running the Discord app on my phone. And then my headphones died. So now I'm just using the phone, like I'm talking to you on the phone.
Ooh.
You're weird.
I know.
Bring on the recap.
Okay. So the last time we left our group of adventurers, they were deep within the forest. So the last time we left Hattrick. Actually, yeah. They were deep in the forest. They had just killed a flail snail. And they decided to retreat. We ended the session with them hearing screams coming from the temple that was in front of them. And at that point, Tinnok came. Tinnok is the new Dragonborn Barbarian, for those who have been following the show. He appeared from the forest having followed rumors to that temple as well. They heard screams coming from inside the temple, and so they decided that they would retreat from the temple and take their acquired treasure and return to Fatima to cash in. And then maybe return a little bit later to see what was going on in the temple. They took a long rest because they were kind of beat up. And they ended up... So the next morning, as they were deciding what they wanted to do... or actually, that night. Sorry. I'm being terrible at this.
Banana.
So... That night, as they're getting ready for bed, Andriox appeared, who had left to return to the battlefront on the northern border between the Jotun and the Dawn Empire. And so he returned in spirit. He appeared to them and told them that the Emperor appeared to him. Told him that he was there to help Hattrick with the trials that they were about to face. And then specifically Behestor and Shirzim talked to him, you know, they explained that there wasn't really anything that they needed help with. They're just planning on hunting more flail snails to acquire more gold so that they can level up, basically. Get better equipment than magical items and things like that, because they had a feeling that the temple was going to be difficult. Andriox that night received a vision of the town of Hellgate, skeletal arms breaking through the crust of the earth, crushing buildings beneath their wildly swinging limbs, and then the coils, and then he flashed to a a silhouette of a temple against a white background. And then he saw the coils of a snake wrapping around the city, crushing it. They woke up in the morning. They all decided that they were going to go hunting for flail snails, but Jayag was more interested in returning to the temple. And since he's the ranger, he decided that he was going to lead those who did not want to go to the temple without them knowing about it. So that occurred. But at that point, Behistor was very adamant that they go hunting for the flail snails. Jayag led them. Oh, crap. Sorry, I had paused for a second in Conan Exiles and freaking Scorpion came out of nowhere. So they had an argument once they came upon a nest of flail snails, because the rest of the group, knowing that flail snails are not an easy kill, facing against three or four of them was a daunting task. And they wanted to go and investigate the temple anyway. At that point, things became tense, and Jayag and Behestor resolved into physical blows against each other. They fought, and during the fight, Shirzim sided with Behestor, while everybody else is kind of not knowing what to do, freaking out a little bit.
Poor Jayag, all alone.
I know, right? And everybody else was like, should we do something? And Jayag's just fighting Behestor. So eventually, actual weapons came out. Things devolved quickly, and Behestor was killed, or seemingly. Shirzim had cast a spell of darkness, and once it dissipated, they found a gray humanoid with wrinkly skin that sagged off of its bones, wide staring eyes, and skin covering its nose and mouth, which was, of course, a doppelganger, because it turns out that Shirzim and Behestor were captured and brought before a snake-like creature.
I don't know this yet.
I thought Shirzim told you guys that. Oh, he didn't.
Mom.
I am sorry. Shirzim has not told you that. That is my fault. Anyway.
But I want to point out, because Jayag's player is here right now, Jayag would have never killed Behestor. Unless he had cause to believe that that might not actually be or isn't. I'm not even going to leave this up for what ifs. After he headbutt, because the first time Jayag really hit him, he headbutt him in the face and broke his nose, and black blood started gushing out. Jayag has seen Behestor bleed quite a bit so far in this campaign.
Yeah,
like gallons of blood. And Brett, Behestor's player, he's giving me every signal under the sun that this isn't right. It's I'm bleeding black blood. Blah. Like you were just vomiting the words black blood out. And I'm like, okay, my instinct's right. It's not that Brett's being a dick and not being a group player here. It's that Behestor's being a dick, but it's not really Behestor. What the hell? And so then that's when I'm like, okay, well, Jayag's going to shoot him. Because that's not Behestor. So I just want to throw it out there. You very casually mentioned that Jayag killed Behestor. And I'm like, no, wait a second.
That
I
is
didn't kill Behestor. I killed what was impersonating Behestor because Jayag had very, very good reason to believe and to follow his instinct that was not his friend. That was not Beard.
Right. Well, and Brett and I were both, because we're letting you know that this is probably not Behestor. this is something else entirely that has taken on the personification of Beheshtor, so that you would feel comfortable in defeating this being, because, you know, there's no reason for you not to at this point. And it furthers the story by defeating it and then finding out, oh, this definitely isn't Beheshtor. This is, mm-hmm. where is our friend? Where is he gone? What's happened to him?
Right.
And so you're right. Joyag did not casually or maliciously kill Beheshtor, although Joyag has thrown daggers into people's shoulders and started instigated fights before. Just throwing that out
there. He's a very instinctual creature, yes, but Beard is his friend.
That's true.
Beard is one of the few people in the world that he has spoken to, that speaks back to him, and that answers his awkward questions about things. Greens in specific.
That's true. And I love those dynamics. I love how you guys have started to act more like a party. Like, because mm-hmm. you've kind of figured each other out. You're mm-hmm. becoming that group, you know. But so they find this out. Shirzim does tell them that he has been charmed and Beheshtor was taken and then replaced by this doppelganger. They return to the temple, which Shirzim has indicated that, you know, he was told to keep the rest of the party away from the temple. They go to the temple, and there they, as they walk in, they find kind of like a sanctuary room with wooden pillars that are that spout eternal flames, with a female cleric seemingly doing some kind of ceremony or ritual. As they talk to her, they rolled really well on an insight check and find out that she is not necessarily being truthful, as she explains that the screams are pigs and not human. And to which point they immediately attack. So they caught her by surprise. They attack her. They dispatch her summarily. She was mostly playing how do I survive this? Because you guys unleashed on her, and then she healed herself, and then she had cast Sanctuary to try to negate some of the damage that was coming her way while she attempted to get back to fighting numbers. And then they killed her, they looted her, they discovered a couple of items, and that is where we ended the session, as they continue to try to explore further into the temple and find out what has happened to their friend and if he is there. That's what's happened so far.
Whew. Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster of a session, that's for sure.
It was a great session.
I had to role play my ass off.
And you guys did such a good job. I was not expecting you guys to be as convincing as you were. Like, you had the entire group convinced that we shouldn't go to the temple. And it was interesting for me, because I'm like, oh man, okay. What if they don't go to the temple? What the heck am I going to do then?
Yeah, right. Right, a whole new thing. What would have happened had we played, and this is an honest question. Now, you know, hindsight being 2020, that's not the real Beheshtor. And Shirzim is mind controlled. What would have happened had we just left and gone elsewhere?
Then my job would have been complete.
would you have continued to play this doppelganger as far as I know, Beheshtor?
Because can I say what my goal was, since it's dead now, technically?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So my goal was to keep you guys away from anything that has to do with the cult that everyone's investigating. So basically, I would probably stay as that doppelganger, and anytime the cult came up, I'd have to role play my ass off again to try to succeed at not investigating in another area.
Interesting. Pretty much. Interesting. Jaig's, okay, so the reason Jaig was like so hell-bent on going into that temple was because of the sister killer situation. Jaig's convinced that the sister killer, Tenok or Sharptooth, because Jaig comes up with a name for everybody.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's one of my favorite things about him, because if you know me really well, I have a nickname for you usually. Usually? He's convinced the sister killer's in the temple. So when the temple came up, it was like, well, we're right here. Sharptooth is right here. The screams are right there. The sister killing mofo is right there. We're going to get him. Like, that's it. That's all there is to it. Because for Jaig, the world doesn't exist beyond his own perception.
Right.
So, I mean, it had the whole sister killing story not been given to him by that point, he wouldn't have cared. He probably would have been scared by the screams and never gone there. So it was really, really an interesting situation here. Like, the more I'm looking at it, the more it's like, wow, everything kind of fell into place perfectly for the reveal, essentially, or things to boil over at that moment. Because had Jaig not been given this story to emotionally latch onto with Sharptooth, whom he just learned all about the history of Dragonborn, he can tell you all about it. had that conversation not happened the night before, he wouldn't have given a day. He would have been afraid of the screams coming from the temple and would have wanted to run away.
Well, and that's the point. I wanted to give you guys enough drive because my goal in that situation was to build the tension, right? Because I had given Behestar and Shearzim the goal, keep you guys away from the cult. And even that was so the couple of times that I had them stay after, that was me running them through the events or introducing new goals or things to them, depending on what the party did.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had them stay after that session with the temple, I told them flat out, I said, you do not want the party to go into that temple because you know that it is related to the cult, that they are doing things in there that the party should not find out about. And I told Brett, because Brett was really asking me questions about, you know, how to best roleplay this and what his goals were and things like that. Right. And he said, would I get violent? And I said, you know what? If they go into the temple, because if you guys had gone in there without finding out that Behestor was a doppelganger, then his job would have been to kill you to keep you from leaving. If you did go into the temple, you could not leave the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been interesting. But I'm happy it turned out the way that it did, because it gives you guys that extra drive, that extra tension to, where is Behestor? This is the only clue we have so far of where the cult is or what mm-hmm. they're doing. We need to go after it to find Behestor and possibly Sharptooth's sister killer, you know.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting tomorrow what happens.
I'm very, very, very excited for tomorrow night, number one, because I know that that's going to wrap up the temple, but then I can't even... if I could play D&D every other night, I would. I really would. And I would need a day between to cool down and to process, and then I'd want to play again. Like, D&D Beyond, not D&D Beyond, Critical Role, their whole catchphrase, is it Thursday yet? Like, right. That's me. Is it Sunday yet? Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot of fun for me. And I've gotten some new stuff recently that I am super excited for you guys to interact with and run into, because there's just some cool stuff that I have in store, or some interesting things. This isn't necessarily a spoiler, but there are other towns and villages that are within a couple of days that there will be opportunities and reasons to visit those places. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, other things to find associated with that, that relate to the main story arc. So you know, there's going to be some cool things coming up in the next couple of sessions. So if you aren't watching The Adventures of Hat Trick, I would suggest doing so.
That you do so.
Yes.
Speaking of that, let's start working our way into plugs, and so we can end this and get going with our nights.
What kind of plugs?
You know, I was butt thinking plugs. Like European
Vonda sex.
Yeah, butt plugs.
I wasn't gonna finish that. I was hoping one of you guys would take it somewhere great, and you didn't disappoint. Luthien, do you want to start with plugs, bud? Where can people find you, and who are you?
Sure. So I am primarily a cosplayer / metal worker out of Colorado. You can find me on Instagram at lead_cloud. I post pictures of work in progress cosplays and the adventures I go on and stuff from work and such. Yeah, I'm going to be at Denver Comic Con this 2 weeks from now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also going to be doing NondesCon and Colorado Springs Comic Con this year. So yeah, I'll be where you can intercept me in person if you can track me down.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully I can make that. Nick, what do you got, bud?
Oh, bloody biscuits. I'm on the Twitters at He Who Fights. I am sitting in my game room right now. And if you have any sound deadening material and you feel like you want to be generous, you should like totally PM me on Twitter and we can talk, because I need some sound deadening material. Damping material.
Yeah, I thought you said damning. I was like,
sound. I said dampening, but then I realized that that's to moisten something. So we'll say damping. I need some sound.
Yeah, man, just get some paper towels, wet them, and throw them at the wall.
You're fairly certain that it actually is dampening.
Say what?
I said I'm fairly certain it is actually dampening, noise dampening.
I think it is too.
Yep.
Dampening. Hold on, kids. To dampen something is to make slightly wet. To dampening is to, they're double meaning. Dampen is actually correct in both words. To damp or moisten, or to dull, deaden, or depress. So dampening is not accurate. It's not good grammar. Dampen. All right.
The more you know.
There we go. Yeah. Anyway, if you have sound damping material and you want to send it my way. But anyway, I'm also on PS4 HWF -7 Force. Or that's it. My coordinates are. No,
my current coordinates.
No, literally, if you ever want to, if I'm online, lately it hasn't been that often, but if I'm online and you want to play the Densities or the Underwatches, just shoot me an invite, and I won't even talk to you. I'll talk to someone else, and you'll get to listen to me in your party chat the whole time talking to someone else. I'm kidding. Do it. Send it. Let's do it. Let's play.
Nice. Russ, where can people find you, bud?
They can find me on server 38, official server 3817 in Conan Exiles. seriously, I have a clan, just some barbarians. And
no way, really?
Yes. I came up with the name, just saying.
Oh, that's amazing. All right.
Nick did. So seriously, if anybody wants to play, I really want to run some dungeons, but they're usually a little bit better if you've got some backup, so that'd be a lot of fun. But other than that, you can find me in the Discord. Normally I mostly reply to anything that happens in the D&D channel, because that's the one that I paid most attention to. Just gonna be for reals honest with you.
That's awesome.
Fair enough.
Well, thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians episode 26. Usually when we do the show, it's live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. You can find us on Twitter at JSGcast. If you want to send us any comments, questions, concerns, pictures of Dick Cheney, you can send those to justsomeguardians@gmail.com. We do not have any new reviews. I apologize. Myself, you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at ElmerFuddGames. A double M, double D.
Double D.
And also, just fun update, I did actually get Twitch affiliate last week. So that's exciting. That's exciting. All the love and support has been like breathtaking, and I totally cried three times the first night I streamed as an affiliate. So
whatever, three times is underestimating.
Okay, it was like five or six. I love everybody, and you guys are super supportive, so thank you. Russell, take us out.
Join us next week on Just Some Guardians for Utter Incompetency and Mutual Chaos. Switch. You know what? I can switch if I want to.
We're gonna want.
I don't want to hear any judgments from you guys.
So quick. I really think Brett.